Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruart. Let's get into the news of today. And the first story we're going to be talking about is continuing fallout from yesterday's postponement of the budget relating to the decision to raise the VAT rate by 2 percentage points. Yesterday, the budget was withdrawn in Parliament because basically the smaller parties in the GNU opposed the ANC's proposal here. And we've been getting more details about what exactly happened ever since then. Yesterday on the show, me and Herman Pretorius described this as a pretty big turning point, particularly for the DA, which we felt had been able to actually exercise its muscles and demonstrate that the ANC needed its support. Well, what's kind of followed since then is that it looks like everyone in the GNU was caught sort of a little bit unawares by the DA's media offensive. The DA was ready right out of the gate to seize the narrative and put themselves in the spotlight. And so today I see Gayton McKenzie, the leader of the Patriotic Alliance, writing an article also saying that it was all of us. It was even people in the ANC who were opposed to the VAT. I'm just going to read a little bit from his opinion piece there. He said that Mamoloko Kubayi from the ANC, who is the Minister of Justice and Correctional Development, also spoke against the VAT increase. Leaders of the Freedom Front Plus, IFP, PAC, Good, and the Patriotic Alliance himself all spoke against the VAT increase. Gayton McKenzie says, quote, DA leader John Steenhuisen gave a brilliant speech about why increasing VAT is a bad idea. It was vintage, possibly the best I have ever seen from him. He goes on to say how the Minister of Finance, Enoch Godongwana, listened without interruption and that all the voices were able to be heard. McKenzie also says that he believes that even within the ANC, which is, you know, normally a very top-down organization, there has been an opening up of political debate now with some ministers able to challenge decisions of the party and cabinet. He said, quote, the early optimism about the GNU remains justified. We are all still learning how to be good coalition partners. However, yesterday's experience shows we are off to a good start. And hopefully even the vainglorious DA will come to do us all a favor and learn just a little bit faster. So, Marius, I think you can tell something is a political victory when everyone tries to claim credit for it. And this is a great example of that. What's your take on all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't want to be on the side of the people who want to raise taxes. But I mean, this kind of from this a piece from McKenzie does it seems true, if you know what I'm saying. It kind of passes the smell test, just the way you relate to what's happened. And I think out of all this, out of the whole GNU so far, Gayton McKenzie is probably one of the politicians who's coming out of it most positively. He's actually he's been pretty statesmanlike, actually, I think, since he's become part of the GNU. And obviously, don't agree with him on everything, but a lot of the stuff he does say. He doesn't support any crazy policy positions. He's against things like expropriation without compensation. I think he supports things like non-racialism. I think it's quite interesting what Gayton McKenzie's said. Yeah, but as you say, I think it's definitely a popular policy if everybody's trying to show that, yes, they actually supported it all the time. But I'm sure you guys probably covered this yesterday, but it does tell you something about the ANC. If this is true, that every single non-ANC party in the GNU opposed it, and by the sounds of things, a lot of people within the ANC also opposed it, that the ANC decided still to just try to bulldoze this through. And, you know, I'm actually one of the people who thinks this is all pretty positive. I think Stephen Gevertsis wrote a piece in Daily Maverick today where he says it's all quite concerning and he's worried it's going to lead to more instability in South Africa. You know, maybe that's true, but coalitions by their nature are often quite unstable. And I'd rather be in a country where the ANC can't just get its own way. It's been getting its own way, even though it's been in the GNU. But I think this is the first time it really hasn't been able to just bulldoze stuff through. And it's realized it does have to rely on other parties now. I mean, at the moment, it's the DA. And we don't know what will happen in the future. But I think we are actually, for all the DA's faults, I think it's a good thing that they are in the national government.
Yeah, it's, stability is one of the most overrated virtues sometimes in politics. It is important sometimes, for sure. You know, if everything is changing every 5 minutes, it causes chaos. No one is able to plan. Businesses in particular hate that because they don't know how to budget. But at the same time, if you're stable in a place that's negative, if you're on a sort of stable trajectory towards oblivion, you know, you're slowly rolling off the cliff, you should probably turn around, even if it causes some instability. So I think most business leaders and investors will realize that probably something good is coming of this. The big question does remain, what exactly is going to replace this tax hike? It ideally should be spending cuts. That's what this really should come down to. South Africa cannot afford to tax its people more. We have a way overbloated civil service. We have lots of misspending of funds all over the place. And that's the next difficult hurdle is rather than just raising taxes in some other way, government needs to actually cut something from the budget. That's, I think, the next big battle here. Any final thoughts?
On the issue of stability, I was once in a meeting with Michael Spicer, the late Michael Spicer, and he said policy certainty is one of the most overrated things in the world, because you have certainty of bad policy. That's not great. You'd actually rather have a bit of uncertainty around bad policy, which is actually what South Africa has at the moment, I think, to a degree, with a lot of bad policies. But there's no certainty they'll be implemented. I mean, something like the Expropriation Act, you know, is it going to lead to expropriation without conversation? I think there's a good chance it will, but I think there's also a good chance that we'll manage to stop it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to our next story. And this is another one of those light items, I think. The internal stuff going on inside the MK party, which has apparently inserted a new clause into its party's constitution. This is a party constitution which has no provisions for electing its leadership. But basically, this says that all public representatives of the MKP are strictly forbidden from seeking direct meetings and consultations with the president of MK before consultation with all officials of the organization, i.e. deputy president, secretary general, national organizer, chairperson, deputy chairperson, and treasurer. Now, this is causing big ructions inside MK because it's seen by some factions as clearly a way of Floyd Shivambu trying to control access to Jacob Zuma, because currently Zuma seems to be the completely unchecked ruler of that party. Whatever he says goes. And so in order to get around the party structures, people will just meet with Zuma and then try and get his endorsement to go against whatever their rival faction has been. And so the party's in total chaos. There's also no clear mechanism by which they amend their constitution, because they haven't had an elective conference and don't look like they're keen to any other time. So is this inclusion in their party's constitution actually valid or not? Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it is, because the rules are all just made up and no one cares. What is described in the media reporting here as a well-placed source said, the latest version of the constitution was introduced last week in Cape Town at the induction workshop, but MPs rejected it. Since then, there are now fears that 32 MK MPs might be fired by the party for not towing the line on this one, which is just an crazy amount of churn in that party. Even better is that there are clauses in the MK party constitution that say the following. They say that everyone has to submit weekly caucus reports to the leadership, have to seek written approval from the leadership before making any deployments to committees, have to seek permission in written form from the chief whip or party leader before media engagements, ask the national organizer before they establish constituency offices, and this is the best one, not sleep or take naps during meetings and sittings of parliament, legislatures, and councils. In response to all of this, an MK MPL who's claims he's been backing Zuma since the Thabo Mbeki era resigned from the party, saying that the revolution presented by former President Jacob Zuma is not happening. Morris, it really seems to me like MK is desperately trying to enforce some kind of structure and discipline on the party, and it's not going down well.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not really going to help when if you have got zero internal democracy and if you can't go and speak to the leader of the party. I mean, the MK party is obviously, it's quite a dangerous organization. I think it's got some really, really bad ideas, things that will, you know, they kind of seem to take ideas from the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, you know, like all kinds of things like nationalizing every single inch of land and whatever. It's really mad stuff. But I think, yeah, I mean, I really don't think they got legs. We've seen in they've done pretty badly in recent by-elections they've been standing in. You know, there's a ward in northern KwaZulu-Natal where they were the single biggest party in last year's general election. Now they're in a by-election a week or two ago. They were third biggest behind the IFP and the ANC. And you know what? South Africans actually don't like voting for parties with these, firstly, with this internal chaos and parties that don't really have any leadership churn. The two biggest parties in South Africa are the ANC and the DA. And they're the only real parties with, you know, quite robust levels of internal democracy, which have had, you know, regular changes of leaders and so on. Every other single party that's represented in parliament is, except maybe with the exception of the IFP and the Freedom Front Plus, are parties where there's been no real move at the, you know, change in the leaders. The ACDP's had the same leader since 1994. UDM, same leader since the late 1990s. GUD, the same leader since it was formed, but it's, you know, was just basically the ID in drag, and Patricia Lille was in charge of that party. Yeah, so it's, in general, South Africans don't like parties that, where there's only one face for a long time and where there's lots of internal chaos. I think COPE is another example of a party where a lot of internal chaos had a lot of promise at the beginning and just collapsed because South Africans don't want to vote for these kinds of parties. So I think we got to start seeing this with MK. I mean, just every week there's a story of some mad internal issue. If it's not Duduzile Zuma, you know, saying nice things about Floyd Chivambo on social media, it's John Klopper and Mzwanele Manye literally coming to blows. I mean, this isn't, you know, th this is not what sensible people do. And it's not what, you know, it's not what people that you want close to power. So, I mean, I think MK is still something we definitely have to keep an eye on. It's definitely a threat still, I think. But I think the threat is starting to recede. But that all said, if MK goes, then we'll probably see the ANC back above 50%, and all that means for, and all what that means for South Africa.
My theory is that the sort of MK and EFF space is very badly managed right now by the leaders of those parties, but that there will always be something in that space, kind of representing the sort of, I guess, the no brakes on the revolution approach, which you know the ANC, to its credit, has never quite embraced. It's always pursued the National Democratic Revolution, but with some brakes every now and again. Whereas the MKEFF approach is just to completely say, "Screw it, we're going all in."
It's kind of
And I
race
think there
nationalist
is
parties.
exactly. I think that that there is definitely a constituency for that. I don't think it's anything near as large as everyone thinks it is. You know, I think it's kind of stable somewhere maybe around 10%, but that is I think that is always going to be a feature of our politics, unfortunately. Let's go on to the next story, and there's been some discussion in the media also relating to the tax increases, where the Commission of SARS said that there wasn't a need to actually raise taxes, and that SARS could simply recover more money that it had not been able to get out of taxpayers that was already owed to it. This appears to have actually quite deeply upset the finance minister, who didn't turn off his microphone when talking with one of his colleagues after a briefing, where he appeared to say, one of his colleagues said to him, "I'm glad you took the question about the commissioner. You answered it much better than I would have." And the finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, replied, "Oh no, I was a bit worried. He is making me angry. Even here, he comes up with this rubbish. I said, how would it help me on the 19th now, even on the 12th? He did not know that we had made provision for 3.5 in the new arrangement, but that 3.5 is now gone." The 3.5 appears to be a amount of money that was going to be spent on SARS to boost its capacity to collect owed money. So, I mean, the implication of that is that he's going to strip money from SARS because the commissioner gave him lip, which, I mean, I don't know if that's what he's saying here. It's difficult to tell when, you know, you only catch half of a conversation, but that doesn't sound good. And I also think this is perhaps shows that all is not peace and love and harmony within the sort of treasury and SARS and the greater financial universe of South Africa's government.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite worrying that if Godongwana did want to cut money to SARS just to spite Kizwetha, that, I mean, that's really a case of spiting your nose, spiting, cutting off your nose to spite your face. And, you know, Godongwana, I think he's been one of the more sensible ANC ministers, but he Also, I mean, sometimes his slip shows. It also seems to think that South Africans are just these kind of cash cows or golden geese that, just there to be milked. There's no thought to how can we put more money back into the pockets of South Africans, whether, that's through cutting your PAYE or cutting VAT, because VAT is something that we all pay, obviously. It's, just thinking of how we can get more money out of these guys. And it goes back to how people like Nicholas Cripps talk about NHI and talking about, people's private medical savings. Somehow the government's entitled them somehow, because that's just how it is. And anything that's, exists in South Africa is actually, at the end of the day, it belongs to the government. So overall, yeah, it's not great of Gordon Gwana, but maybe this kind of tension is also healthy. We, if you're in a place where everybody agrees with you, then you, if you're in a room where everybody agrees with you're in the wrong room. You have to be in a place where people are disagreeing, and that's actually where you start finding solutions, where people do disagree. And I think that's been a problem in South Africa, where we've had the ANC in charge for so long. There's been no real disagreement, and that's why we are in the way we are, because nobody's come up with any real solutions. And maybe we're going to get to a point now where, because there is disagreement, we're going to actually find solutions. And I don't know, maybe this is just a bit of copium or me clutching at straws, but yeah, it's always good to, I think, look for silver linings, I think.
Well, I disagree. I think the advice on alternatives to try have definitely been have not been unheard by the ANC. They've been ignored, which is a very different response. But anyway, let's not get
But
bogged
it's
down in all of
easy
that.
to ignore people when they're outside the room, not so easy when they're inside the room. So.
Well, it's very clear. We're very happy at the IRR to give a briefing to any minister from any political party in government right now. Our numbers are on the website. Just give us a call. but anyway, let's call it there. Thanks very much, everyone, for watching. We hope that you had an interesting time watching the show and that you found us useful to listen to. And we will see you tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.